Hi, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
Would you introduce yourself, please?
Well, hello, my name is Soko.
Oh, wait, so are we going to do that? Are we going to, like, do you want to do your sexy voice and I do my full announcer voice?
Sure.
Or do you want to do the announcer voice and I do the sexy voice?
Whatever you want.
Boy, that's a big decision. Can I get back to you on this? So let's see, 2007, you put out that thing that got millions of views, you won't sing anymore,
yeah,
we'll get rid of that. That's
yeah.
Gone, right? You're an actress, you're a singer, you had a really rotten childhood. And I'm not making fun of that because we all have in some way, but you know, but it has informed a lot that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like all the stuff that as I went through 42 bazillion interviews this afternoon, right? I read interview and I read honey, blah, 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 blog. And I read, and you know what? That's all, whichever one it was, right? And you know, what's your favorite color on a Tuesday? We're not going to do that. So here, I know.
Well, actually, my favorite color on a Tuesday is turquoise.
What about Thursday?
I think black.
Okay, so now I'm getting to the NME questions. That's what the NME is. If you were a turtle, what kind of turtle? Okay, or if you were a turd. But anyway, when people come up to you and they say, okay, so, well, you know, actress, musician, new record, you know, you've picked these things purposely, right? So I want you to tell me one more thing behind each of them. So music nerd to the extent of being a geek about gear, or music nerd about the fact that you've just done all your homework? What's really going to inform, you know, to get to where you are?
Music nerd in terms of like turning the music on as soon as I wake up in the morning, and the last thing I do at night is turn the music off before I go to bed. I make playlists all the time. I like to find out about bands and where they come from and what they do and discography and all of this, and I'm a total music snob too. There's a lot of things I don't like. I don't listen to any electronic music, rap, hip-hop, anything violent, can't stand it. Metal, can't stand it. I don't know, I just like music that feels real and that's not hidden behind anything else. And I like emotions and I love lyrics and I love poetry.
Tell me about these childhood dreams that have found their way into this record. Tell me about some of these, you know, I know you, things I've read already, so I'll repeat them so you don't have to, that you channeled your inner Robert Smith, right?
Yeah.
So you've said that several times, but I'm more interested in the childhood dreams that have found their way into these songs.
Yeah. So when my dad died, prior to that, I was having a lot of nightmares, and every night I would cry, call my mom, and I would come in my room, try to comfort me.
This was very young. This is like age 4, right?
Yeah, 5.
Yeah.
And she would comfort me and then go back to bed, and that'd be okay. But that was like for a week, really, really intense nightmares. And then after a week of nightmares, my mom was with me comforting me, and we heard my dad scream, and he died right away of aneurysm. Like, he literally died in 5 minutes. When my mom went back to the room, she was like, why are you screaming? And he was dead. So after that, I thought in my little head, I thought that maybe like my dreams killed him because I was stealing my mom from the bed. So that's what I made up in my mind at 5 years old. And then I would constantly have these dreams, and then someone would, like my grandma would fall in the stairs and be in the hospital, or like, you know, all my grandparents died and I had dreams before that, or like my godfather, my great aunt, like all these people continually, each time I would have these nightmares, someone would die. So I thought I was a sort of witch and I was like killing people. So that was pretty horrible. So I went to therapy a lot for that.
Well, and you know what? I'll tell you something. Even if you're older, it does the same thing. It wakes you up in a whole different way to your mortality, in a huge, huge way.
And that's what I think the record is all about, like fear, like just being too aware of mortality and just like living my life in a way that, like, since I'm a kid, I've made lists of things I want to do before I die, which is not what you do when you're a kid. It's like, before I die, I want to do like voiceovers for Disney movies, and I want to meet Robin Williams because he looks like my dad, and you know, like,
did he really?
Yeah, well because my dad died so young, you know, he was such like the perfect dad in movies that I completely identified and like projected that vision of like, oh, Hook, Peter Pan, this is my dad. And it caused, you know, me to have a really, you know, messed up head and having Peter Pan syndrome way later.
But it's leading to a record.
Yeah.
That so was make. I'm being serious about this. Was making the record cathartic because you got all those dreams now out into the world?
Well, I didn't really think about it this way. I was just like making it to get it out of me, and like also just accept it, like shine a light on it, and instead of being like, this is all this, you know, messing up my head, I'm gonna accept it and like turn it into something more positive and be like, okay, I accept it, this is why I'm so vulnerable, and this is why I'm completely hypersensitive, and this is why I need a lot of affection because I felt like deprived of affection when I was a kid, and all these things is like, all of these trauma from childhood is what makes me who I am today, and instead of, you know, hiding it, I'd rather just shine a light on it.
And back to your inner Robert Smith.
Yeah.
You kind of picked an appropriate producer, didn't you?
Well, so I was convinced that Robert Smith should produce my record, and I was like, this is gonna happen. I'm gonna make it happen. He's never produced a record. I'm young. I'm a girl. You know. He's probably.
Yeah, that's it. You know what? If you could just use that, right? Just walk in the street. I'm young. I'm a girl. That's it.
It's not like, oh, I'm like a, you know, a dude that's, you know, trying to be him. It's like different enough that it could be, you know, interesting for him, like to have like a new angle.
Yeah, no, you'd have to work a little hard to be him, especially right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look a little different than he does these days.
No, I'm not trying. That's what I mean.
I know.
but I was like, yeah, convinced it was gonna happen, and then I was asking everyone, do you know him? Do you have his email? How can I get in touch? And then I was working with someone at the time who was like, oh, I know that guy, Ross Robinson, who produced their record, The Cure. Maybe we can get in touch with him and he can like send an email to Robert Smith, which he did. I wrote the full letter being like why I want to work with him, why I think he's the appropriate producer, and like how obsessed I am with their sound, and I love the early records. And then never heard back. And Ross reached back and was like, hey, Robert never answered, but I listen to your stuff. I love it. Do you want to meet? I'll do your record. And then turns out I went to his house and I was like, have been to your house before? He was like, no way. When? I was like, I'm friends with the Klaxons. I was here when they recorded their album.
Ah.
And then he was like, oh shit, that's crazy. Because when that happened, the Klaxons were like, you should record with Ross. He's amazing. And I was like, oh, that's such a great environment to record in. He has like a beautiful house, beachfront in Venice Beach. And it's gorgeous and the sweetest dog. And I was like, oh, that sounds perfect. And Ross straight away was very like, I want to capture your raw energy. I've seen you live. I think you're an amazing live performer. I want to capture that on the record. And I was like, yeah, it's what I want to do too, because I'm so completely like 1,000% myself on stage, like who I wish I was all the time, like that confident and that fun. But then it's like, as bright as your lights, as you shine, then, you know, it's like when night comes, you're like a miserable little thing. It's like 100% up, 100% down. You know, there's like, I have a really hard time to have like a stable middle ground. So I go through like, you know, being overly happy and, you know, creative and outgoing and easy, and being like completely like not being able to be around anyone, not wanting to check my phone.
Here's some interesting news. That's called being a creative person.
I know. But then Ross, instead of like,
hi, how you doing?
I know.
I mean, that's yes.
But
that's the curse.
Instead of being like, well, I want you to be just this, he was like, I love all of it. And it was the first time that someone allowed me to like show my weaknesses and make mistakes and be upset about it and cry while I was recording because I'm not satisfied with what I'm doing. And each time I would have like a meltdown and be like, oh, I can't get that keyboard part right. Oh, I want to play this bass part better. It was like, yeah, yeah, do it again. Oh my God, yeah, do it again. Then he was like encouraging me.
No enthusiasm whatsoever.
He was encouraging me to like be fully myself in like, putting it all out, and like the anger and the sadness and the discomfort and all of it is like what is actually in this record. Is
so how did it get more synthy and more guitar-y?
Well, I'm not like a synth fan, but then my friend had, I was not before, but my friend had this Solina keyboard, and he was like, oh, you know, it's really nice to have that keyboard in the back when you do like string arrangements, and then you just put that in the back because it's like synth strings, but it's really warm and beautiful, and you put reverb on it and blah, blah, blah. And so I started using that for like quiet songs that were really pretty. And then I was like, oh, this is my new favorite sound. I want to put it everywhere. So then I bought one, and we put it absolutely everywhere on the whole record. And it became really like, instead of organ, I write a lot on organ. I have this Farfisa organ in Paris. It's from the late 70s. It's like double deck with cassette drum machines. Like all my songs start with, how I wrote this record is like, oh, my song started with a drum machine. So I like put the drum machine on, always the same, just like changing the BPM, but I love that one beat that's on it. And each time I turn it on, I want to write a song. So I would be like either on the organ or on bass. That's how I wrote the whole thing. I didn't write one song on guitar, which is usually what I did on the first record. And this was like a complete different process for me, like writing on bass, and I'm not a bass player, was like made me have like all these different melodies. And like before I was scared of like structures and choruses. I wanted to stay away from it, and then I was like, I actually love a good chorus. I'm gonna try to write choruses for this record.
You decided to embrace the norm.
Yeah, and had a lot of fun with it.
It's really too bad that you don't want to have any control over the pictures to go with the songs at all. How many videos have you already in your brain for these songs already crafted? Oh. How many are in there already? I'll bet about 72.6%. That's my guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, a lot. I really enjoy directing videos. And there's one song on the record that I did with Ariel Pink that's called Love Trap. And this morning, Ariel, usually you can't talk to him before noon, and this morning at 9 a.m. We were on the phone, and I was in the van already, and we were talking about like, what should we do? Because we wrote the song completely together. So I was like, oh, we should write the concept together. And he was like, no, you're the director. I love your videos. I want you to do you. I want you to do your vision. And I was like, no, but let's come up with the concept together. So we're going to do like a zombie wedding video together.
Will you invite me? That sounds like fun. I want to go to a zombie wedding.
You should come and be the priest.
Jewish priests are always good.
But we said the priest needs to wear like a Chewbacca outfit.
Thanks. My daughter will show up for that. You put out this record. You've got, I believe, 4 films booked next year.
Yeah.
So you're going to put on the superhuman outfit, right? Because you're going to be in these films.
Yeah.
And the record's going to be released. And you're going to have to tour. And but you know what the good news is? You won't have any time to wake up in the morning and think about it.
Yeah. I'm already tired just to the idea of it. I'm actually stressing out a lot about it. I have like basically all the directors, like I booked these movies, you know, one was written for me, and the girl has been writing it for 6 years, trying to make it for 6 years, and it's still like in the process, but has like a really good production company and everything. It's just really hard to make movies these days. Like it's really hard to get budget together, and they're all like, we want to shoot before the other one. You can't do 2 period piece movie where you're going to be in costume. You have to choose one or the other. And I'm like, one is a serial killer. The other one is a dancer. I can do both. It's completely different.
Or a serial dancer.
Yeah, that too.
What I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And it's 2 of your songs on the outside is the bread.
Uh-huh.
And then you get to pick songs by anybody you want in between, and I'm under literally obligation to play whatever you do.